Now we take you back to the night of April 1st, 2002, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Well, if you're like me with these kinds of books, these are two books, I mean, you're just going to have to go for, and I check Amazon.com, 5-star all the way. Earthquake Games, Ground Zero. Both of the books, if you'll go to my website, artbell.com. Yeah, the blue screen of death is now off there, folks. If you'll go to artbell.com, under tonight's guest, there are going to be links to both of these books. Extremely reasonable at Amazon.com, as always, and these are my kind of books. Bonnie, I want to ask you about two contemporary things. You know, we've been through the Cold War and the partial wars and all the rest of it as far as the gaming is concerned. Yeah. But there are two things going on in the world right now that demand my asking you about them. One, of course, is the Middle East. Now, biblically, I guess that's where Armageddon's going to occur, and if you watch the news lately, it seems like we're, you know, the fat lady's beginning to hum, and I don't know how much more the Israelis are going to take. I know that they have nuclear weapons buried in the desert. I think that's pretty common knowledge, and I think their backs are getting pretty far up against the wall. Now, how many scenarios did you run on the Middle East, Bonnie?
Many.
Many?
Yeah. You know, what is it about the Earth over there? It generated the world's greatest religions, but it just seems to also generate unending war.
That's right.
Many of the scenarios would begin in the Middle East, and some of our cascading scenarios would start in the Middle East.
In the Middle East.
Yeah.
That's still not out of the question, is it? Because, of course, if Israel became involved to the nuclear level, not out of the question, that would no doubt involve us in some way rather quickly. And then you don't know about the Russians anymore, depending on what begins to happen to some of their friends.
And the Chinese as well.
And the Chinese. So, you know,
there's somebody who's willing to kick them when they're down. you would not want to be a country vulnerable around China, I would think. Speaking of us or anyone else in the area.
What do you think the United States would do if the Israelis used nuclear weapons?
I have no idea. I know that in the scenarios that we ran, the nukes were not used by Israel, but used by us.
By us.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, if you look at for example, the Gulf War, it somehow we kept Israel out of it. I don't know how we did that. I still don't know how we did that. There must have been some fancy dancing going on because we kept them out of it. And they were in buildings with gas masks. I mean, it was that bad in Israel. And we kept their hand down and took care of it ourselves.
Right. In order to quiet the rest of the Arab world so that we could kick Saddam out of Kuwait.
Precisely so, but Israel is more and more up against it right now.
Yeah.
And it could turn from what it is right now into a full-fledged war. It's like dry timber just waiting.
That is exactly the image I had. They got a big puff of cotton over there and everybody's striking matches. When is it going to go up?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what would happen. I think that the entire intent is to keep things from going nuclear. It would be so easy to put a couple of nukes on Saddam Hussein's biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons facilities over there, or just get a good-sized nuke in the general area. And if they say, oh, we didn't have anything there, say, well, look at that big crater. Who knows? I mean, that's an easy solution, isn't it? We're not doing that. What we're trying to do is come up with bombs like the thermobaric. Thermobaric, my new favorite bomb, that does not require nuclear weapons to destroy these facilities. So we're really putting forth a great effort here to keep the nukes away, and for good reason.
By the way, they're using these daisy cutters and thermobaric bombs in Afghanistan, and it may be completely unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
But there sure have been a lot of earthquakes over there lately. Were you noticing that?
Believe me, the title of my second book is Earthquake Games. And isn't it interesting that there have been two earthquakes in Afghanistan since we went to war there?
Yes, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. It's the premise of my book, Earthquake Games, is that the United States government has a Tesla machine, originally designed by Nikola Tesla, which generates a magnetic earth resonance pulse, which causes a fault line then to vibrate harmonically and sets off an earthquake.
Uh-huh.
Now, I originally got this idea because in 1994...
Not really so wild, Bonnie.
Not so wild. In 1994, there was an earthquake in Northridge in California.
Right.
And I heard that all of the National Guard and police were on alert.
Prior to the earthquake?
Prior to the earthquake. And that was my big gotcha. I thought, oh my goodness, what if they didn't predict it? They caused it. And then I read about, then it all falls into place from there, that in order to prevent major earthquakes like what happens in places like South America or Turkey or now Afghanistan, you create a smaller earthquake that bleeds that pressure off that fault so you don't get the killer earthquake.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, that kind of power in the hands of a secret government organization is very tempting to turn towards your own purposes.
Do you believe that kind of power exists?
I believe in the Tesla machine.
We all know, they beat feet right in as soon as Tesla passed and took everything he had away,
right.
And they still have it.
Under the War Powers Act, they still have it.
That's right.
I have this great scene in my book where they go into... And my CIA analyst, of course, who has the requisite clearances, goes into this labyrinth world to find the Tesla files. It was so fun to write as fiction because it's so close to reality.
Yeah.
They have all the Tesla files. So my book came out, Earthquake Games, and while I was doing the first series of publicity on the hardback, there was another earthquake.
Yeah.
And it was January 13th, 2001. Over Martin Luther King Day weekend.
Correct.
The January 17th, 1994 earthquake was on Martin Luther King Day weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, wow, either nature has an affinity for Martin Luther King Day,
yeah,
or there's something to this.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun to write the book, but the more I delved into it, the more I realized that it parallels reality almost too much.
Almost too much, right. All right, let's try this one. The buildings came down in New York. The Pentagon was attacked by yet another plane.
Mm-hmm.
And behind this, it is said, in quotes, is Osama bin Laden. What do you think about Osama bin Laden? And what should we, if you were wargaming the scenario, knowing what you know now,
mm-hmm,
about Osama's willingness and capability,
mm-hmm,
what kind of gaming would you be doing about this?
We actually gamed this scenario.
Excuse me?
Except with nuclear weapons and not with planes. And believe me, while I was weeping with the rest of the world over what happened, I couldn't believe that we never thought of that and that we never gamed aircraft. Of course, I also know that in 1985, was it during the Reagan administration, a airliner was shot down in the Persian Gulf. It was an Iranian airliner.
That's correct.
That had some problem with their communication systems, and our aircraft carrier shot it out of the sky.
I think it was an Aegis-controlled system that shot it down.
That's what is it. The Aegis system. Aegis systems can shoot down missiles. They can shoot down aircraft. Kind of like one by my house, really.
And, usually you wouldn't expect the Aegis system and those running it to make that kind of a mistake, would you?
No, you wouldn't. On the other hand, this was a major threat to an aircraft carrier. It is the right and province of an aircraft carrier to kill things that are coming to kill it.
Yes.
They made a huge mistake. They killed a lot of innocent people. And so in response to this, there was an executive order signed. Gosh, don't you love those executive orders?
Yeah.
That only a presidential directive could be, that a presidential directive had to be signed in order to shoot down an airliner.
It was in effect on 9/11?
Yeah, it is no longer in effect. Bush rescinded the order.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we gamed 9/11. It's called a decapitation attack. And what you do, and they used airliners, which is quite unconventional of them, but brilliant. They use airliners to essentially do what we've gamed in a nuclear sense. You take out Washington, D.C., you know, the Capitol, the White House, the Pentagon. You take out the financial district of New York.
Right.
Then you take out several city centers, such as Atlanta, and what's the other one we always gamed? Of course, Colorado Springs, because that's got the NORAD and wargaming missile defense and Peterson Air Force Base and the Air Force Academy. So that's definitely ground zero. And several other city centers, and then that's it.
How about Nellis Air Force Base? Was that a zero?
No.
No.
You would think that Nevada would be a target, but that's not one of the...
How about our test site in Area 51?
Right. I would think that you'd try and cover the waterfront there in Nevada, but for some reason...
it was never part of it.
Right. It was not a decapitation attempt. I believe the reasoning behind that was... basically, in Nevada, you had all of the pawns, not the major chess pieces. You have to have the king and the queen on your chessboard in order to direct those pawns. So why take out Nevada when they are pawns? Now, this is a philosophy. The decapitation attempt is a philosophy that comes from people who believe that you have the ruling elite and then a bunch of peasants. So once you knock off the ruler, like what happened in Afghanistan, then everybody descends into tribes and they fight each other, which is not really what America is all about. But that's the concept. So what they did on 9/11 was they failed in a decapitation attempt. They hit the World Trade Center first, which allowed the alert to go out. They grounded the planes so the other terrorists on the planes were not able to complete their missions. And then, of course, the airliner that crashed into the Pentagon... may have been aimed at the White House, may have been aimed at the Capitol.
And or the one that went down in Pennsylvania due to the heroic efforts of those passengers could have been headed for the White House.
Most definitely was headed either for the White House or the Capitol building.
Sure.
Yeah. And who would have been president? If they had succeeded in their attempt and they had taken out the White House, the Capitol, the Pentagon...
I don't know, because I don't know where Dick Cheney was at the time.
Right. And if the president had been in the White House, they didn't know he wasn't. But if he'd been at the White House... And they had taken out, basically, the first three or four in the command structure. You know, you might have two or three different people, like a guy in a bunker in Omaha, saying, I'm the president now.
You might have. Now, do you remember there was a very interesting sort of story that hasn't been reported on much since it occurred? But the president, of course, I believe was in Florida.
Yes.
Got on a plane and went hop, skipping, and jumping all over the place in the strangest way during all of this, and there were reports of credible threats against Air Force One.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember all that?
I do. And there was no there was reason to believe. Certainly, I would have believed that if they were doing an attack like that, that the secondary wave might have been a suitcase nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't go back to Washington, D.C., Mr. President, because there may not be one if we go back there. So he forced them to go back to Washington, D.C. in the evening, basically to say, you know, to show that he was not a coward, you know, that he wasn't being hidden in some bunker somewhere.
Yes, but for a while some strange things went on, and later sort of denials and confirmations of it, then denials, and something weird happened there.
Right, and I've played war games where I've seen... It's so interesting to watch what happens when you apply pressure in unexpected ways to people who are used to dealing with A, B, C, and D, and you throw them W.
Right.
Then sometimes they don't really panic in a sense that you or I would panic, because these are trained military men and women who've been to the war college and everything. But what they'll do is they'll start throwing, you know, into the mix, they'll start throwing different things, trying to find a solution. You know, they'll start fitting those puzzle pieces in. Okay, what about this? Okay, what about this? What about this? And it's pretty frantic. You know, I remember seeing he was a Marine. I love the Marines. And he was just in a purple-faced rage because he was trying to save the Earth and everything was going wrong. And, you know, he couldn't get the proper commands out. And I think something like that must have happened. It was so unexpected that what they were trying to do was say, okay, what about this scenario? What about that scenario? We got to go here. Okay, what about there? And then things started to settle down a little bit.
So you think what we saw was a state of official confusion?
I don't know if confusion is the good word, or more of so many options.
Well, confusion as a result, though, isn't a bad word either.
Yeah, I guess
it's
not.
Just,
all right.
A dangerous word.
Confusion. Okay.
all right. So, Osama bin Laden, do you believe that we have decapitated Al-Qaeda? Or do you think that there is significant threat? I mean, the government certainly seems to think there is continuing significant threat.
I do, too.
You do? You do.
I do. I think there are terrorist cells in this country, and our government. I'm really a fan of our military. I think our military is doing a really good job in Afghanistan. As far as the government agencies in this country, I'm not real confident that they're doing a good job. For example, the flight certificate approvals that were given to two of the dead terrorists by the INS.
Yes, yes.
You know that when people say, "Oh, the FBI's on top of all those terrorist cells." Oh, really? How about the ones that we know are already dead? And they're giving approval for them to take flight lessons in this country. Mm. That's not very encouraging. I think that Al-Qaeda was supported by some state. When you get a decapitation attempt, and that's really a point I wanted to make about talking about 9/11 in terms of a military strike. This was not a terrorist strike. This was a classic military maneuver. That does not sound to me like, you know, some whack job in a cave somewhere.
And if you were guessing, would you be guessing Iraq, for example?
Yes, I would. Although I'm not a big fan.
Well, the government obviously must be guessing Iraq as well, because all the signs are pointing toward. Well, when you start hearing about policy changes and you start hearing about, a trifecta of evil or whatever.
Yeah, the axis of evil.
The axis, that was it, the axis of evil. That means that we know something and we're beginning to shape public opinion for what's going to happen.
Oh, I think so. And again, my favorite word of the week, thermobaric bomb. They're not dropping that on Afghanistan just for fun. They're checking it out. And a good thing, too. To me, really, Art, the thing that scares me most in the world is contemplating something like that loose in the world and raging. Biological attack is really scary. And in order to stop someone like Saddam from using that, because he will, if he gets a chance, he will use it.
No doubt about that, right?
Yeah, no, I don't think any doubt about it.
Based on what he's already done, if he has the ability to do this, from our point of view, he's absolutely crazy enough to do it.
Right. And look what he did to Kuwait. He has proven that he is not of the 21st century. He believes that he can impose his will on other countries. You know, he gassed the Kurds. He sent doctors in to take notes on how far away from the gas canisters the bodies lay.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing scientific experiments to see how efficiently he can kill. And I think that there's good policy to go in and take him out. I'm not real happy about it. And you know what I'm really frightened about, Art, is not our military guys in the Persian Gulf going after Saddam. Because these are guys that are well-trained, they've got good equipment, a lot of them have been in this part of the country before, you know, they know the terrain. What I'm nervous about is here in this country.
What do you mean?
We're targets. We are targets of their terrorist cells. So no, the Iraqi Republican Guard is not going to be able to withstand our Marines.
No, of course not.
But they believe in fighting war in a different way.
They've already proven that.
They certainly have.
Hold on, Bonnie. We're at the top of the hour. We will open phone shortly. I'm Art Bell. Bonnie Ramthan, who was a war gamer for the Department of Defense, is my guest.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from April 1st, 2002.